when I think of the fact that as the result of listening to these principles and accepting them into our hearts and living them out in our lives, there are going to be men and women in the kingdom of God to live with Jesus forever in that glorious eternity. Isn't it wonderful? Think of it. This is the most wonderful work in the world. Well, you know these fellows that plan for this moon trip. They think that's wonderful. Well, it is from a human standpoint. But listen, I'd rather be studying what you and I are studying from morning to morning. And I'd rather be going forth with this work of soul winning than all that. Wouldn't you? Thank God we have the most glorious work in the universe. All right. Now this morning, we're looking again at Psalm 126, 5 and 6. I hope that we all know this by heart, and I hope we know it in our lives. They that sow in tears shall do what? Reap in joy. Now the sixth verse together. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. 2 mornings ago we studied he that goeth forth. Yesterday we studied what? And weepeth. Now this morning we're studying bearing precious seed. Bearing precious seed. The purpose of the going forth is that we may what? Sow the seed. And we have to bear it, carry it, in order to sow it. And the weeping is to prepare the soil that the seed may germinate. All right, what is the seed? Let us find the answer here in the Word of God. Let's go to the 8th chapter of Luke and the 11th verse. Luke 8:11. Let's see what this seed is that the sower carries and scatters. What is it? The Word of God. That's what Jesus says. The parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. What is the seed? The Word of God. Then if you're going to scatter seed, you're going to have to carry what? The Word of God. Now, we can carry it in our hands, in our pockets, in our purses, in our briefcases. We can carry this printed volume, the Bible. But when Jesus was teaching the people, did he carry around with him all those scrolls of the Law and the Prophets? No. Did he carry the seed? Did he scatter it? Where did he carry it? He carried it in his mind. I suppose he knew by heart most or perhaps all of the Old Testament scriptures. You know, the Jews, in the time of Jesus, they had been trained to memorize the scriptures. By the time a boy was 12 years old, he knew the first 5 books of the Bible by heart. And then, of course, he had the others to get acquainted with. But Jesus went beyond in his study of the scriptures what the ordinary Hebrew child did. He concentrated on the scriptures. He didn't take time to study all the human commentaries on the Bible that the Jews were busy with. Instead of studying what men had written about the Bible, he studied the Bible itself. And the Holy Spirit taught him, and we're told that we can gather knowledge just as Jesus did. So we can fill our minds. Our seed basket is right up here on top of our shoulders, between our ears, under our hair. That's the seed basket. And oh, it's a wonderful thing, friends, when our minds are filled with the Word of God. The parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. How many seeds do you have? Well, if you only have one, you can put it in the right place and it'll help somebody. But dear friends, we need many kinds of seed for many kinds of soil. You know, there's seed that'll grow in one kind of soil and it won't grow so well in another. And God has put in the Bible many kinds of seed. It's all to blossom and bear fruit unto eternal life. So let's fill up our minds with the Word of God. What do you say? But now it isn't enough to have it in the seed basket. We must bear this seed. What does bear mean there? Carry, and of course scatter it. Let's go to Mark, the fourth chapter and the 14th verse. What are we to do with this seed? Mark 4:14. What does it say?
Sow it.
The sower soweth the word. He doesn't just keep it in his seed basket. The purpose of getting it in the seed basket is to get it out of the seed basket. And God's great purpose in giving you and me a knowledge of his word is that we may share it with others. Take it out. Now, if we have these things in our minds and hearts, it should be natural to pass them on. And oh, how many opportunities there are to do this, in season and out of season. In the morning worship, at the meal table, as we meet people in a business way, as we are welcoming visitors in our homes, all the while we're to be watching for the opportunity to sow the seed. Now, let's turn to Isaiah, the 50th chapter, in the 4th verse. And I want you to see a very important promise here that bears on this matter. Isaiah 50, verse 4. You know, we need wisdom to say the right word at the right time, to sow the right seed at the right season. We don't plant watermelons in February, do we?
No.
Would it do any good? Not a bit. Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. A word when?
In season.
What does in season mean? At the right time. There's a right time to plant corn. There's a right time to plant wheat. And it isn't necessarily the same time, is it?
No.
There is a right time to take the seed that God has put in your mind and put it in somebody else's mind. And if there's anything that is unfortunate in this work of soul winning, it's saying the right thing at the wrong time. Some people seem to be expert at it. I could illustrate that in various ways. Are there some things in the Bible about the mark of the beast? Is that a part of the third angel's message? Is there a right time to present it? Oh, somebody would say, well, any time ought to be the time to present the truth.
No.
Turn, please, to John, the 13th chapter. I want you to see something very interesting here. Jesus had been with his disciples 3.5 years, and now he's about to leave them. But before he goes, he tells them something. Here's a wonderful statement from Jesus. It's the 16th chapter of John and the 12th verse. John 16:12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Jesus had been with those men over 3 years. Had he told them yet all that he knew? Had he told them yet all he wanted to tell them?
No.
But why didn't he? Why hadn't he? He said, ye cannot bear them now. It wasn't the right time. It wasn't the right season. Weather conditions weren't right for certain seeds that he had to sow. Had he sowed a great many seeds in their minds? Oh, yes. Enough to keep them busy for a long time. But now notice his promise. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. So the Holy Spirit that descended on the disciples on the day of Pentecost continued the teaching work that Christ had started with them. And so we must not think that it is our business to tell all the truth at all times. We ought not to tell anything but the truth. Everything we say should be the truth, but we need all that wisdom, that tact born of divine love, to say the right word at the right time. And the Holy Spirit is the only one that can guide in this, my dear friends. This is why I'm stressing from morning to morning the importance of seeking God on our knees. There are some things, friends, you can do whether you pray about it or not. You can build a house if you're a good carpenter. An atheist can build a good house, can't he? Done every day. A woman can cook a good meal, whether she knows the Lord or not, if she'll follow the right cookbook. Don't misunderstand me. It's God that gives people that wisdom. But my point is, it can be done without prayer. It should be done better with prayer. But soul winning is something, friend. You can't do it at all successfully without seeking the Lord earnestly for his blessing. The Holy Spirit must inspire your heart to say the right word at the right time and to be at the right place to meet the right man to put that right word in. Turn to Acts, the 8th chapter, and you'll see what I mean. Oh, how important to be under the guidance of the Holy Spirit so that we can be there just at the right time with the right word. Acts, the 8th chapter. You'll notice, beginning with the fifth verse, it tells about Philip being up in Samaria. He was holding an effort up there, as we would say, giving the people the words of God. And they had some wonderful meetings, wonderful results. But now watch. When we come down to the 26th verse, the angel of the Lord speaks to Philip and says, I've got a job for you today that's different. You're to leave Samaria and go down south of Jerusalem toward Gaza, out there in the desert. Philip might have said, well, what? How should I leave all these people that are listening to the word of God and go down there on the desert? There's nobody there. But what does the 27th verse say? He arose and went. Philip had become used to obey. He was used to obey. When God spoke, he did what God said. Well, when he got down there, there was a man, 27th and 28th verses, riding in a chariot. He was the treasurer of Ethiopia. He'd been up to Jerusalem to worship. He was on his way home. And he was doing what's a good thing to do. He was improving his time while traveling. He was reading the scriptures. But he didn't understand what he was reading. God had Philip there at the right time, 29th verse, to join himself to the chariot. And Philip, it says, asked him a question as he saw him reading the prophet Isaiah. Do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand what you're reading? And what did the man say? How can I accept some man should guide me? He recognized his need of help. Now you'd remember that in the parable of the sower, Jesus spoke about the man out on the hillside sowing the grain. And there were four different experiences. The first was that some seed fell where? By the wayside. What happened to that? The birds came and ate it up. No crop from that. And this is what might have happened to this man, because he didn't understand, you see. He might have read on, and the seed had never gotten down in his mind, because he didn't comprehend it. But God had Philip there at the right time to explain the word to him. And notice what Philip did. The 35th verse. Then Philip opened his mouth and began where? At the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. Philip began where the man was in his reading of the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit, notice, had arranged several things to happen all at the same time. For that man to be riding along in the chariot, and for Philip to come clear from Samaria and meet him at that particular point, and for the eunuch to be reading Isaiah and to have come to the 53rd chapter, and the middle of the chapter, right there, at that moment when Philip joined him. And God gave Philip, you understand, what it took to help that man see Jesus in that scripture. Isn't that wonderful, friends? Wouldn't you like to have an experience like that? Well, you can. You will. As you fill your mind with the Word of God and then watch for opportunities to say the right word at the right time. Now, there's a balance on this thing between caution and holy boldness. We need to be careful that we don't say the wrong thing or that we don't say the right thing at the wrong time. But on the other hand, my dear friends, we need to be careful that we don't have so much caution that we never say anything about the precious truth of God. Let's turn over to 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and the 15th verse. Here's one of the ways that God uses to help us to know when to sow the seed. This isn't the only way, but this is a very important way. This is the way God used with Philip and the eunuch. You remember the man was reading there in the book of Isaiah, and as he read, he asked Philip, "Now, who's the prophet talking about? Is he talking about himself or some other man?" And the Bible says that Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. All right. In other words, he answered a question. Now, 1 Peter 3:15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Be ready when?
Always.
Be ready always. But that doesn't mean to be talking always. No. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that does what? Asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. This is so important in medical missionary work. As we mingle with people in the home or in the sanitarium, as we seek to help people with nursing, with simple treatments, with health instruction, we're to be watching always for that opportunity to sow some word of God, to plant in the heart some scripture. But as we watch, we're listening for the Holy Spirit's impression. And one of the ways, as this text shows, that God answers our prayer for guidance is to cause people to do what? Ask. Ask. Why do you do that? Why don't you do this? What does this scripture mean? These are a few of the many questions that people may ask. And as the Holy Spirit prompts them to ask questions, He will prompt us to point to the scripture that will help them to find the answer to their questions. For, my dear friends, the answer is in the Bible. The seed is the Word of God. Oh, how many times human opinions are dropped into people's minds in answer to their questions. Let's keep away from answering people by saying, "Oh, I think this," or "I think that." What does our thinking amount to, friend? What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? We want to impart life. And there is life in the seed. Is there life in a seed? Oh, yes. You know, a grain of sand and a grain of mustard seed might look something alike, But there's an infinite difference in the two. A grain of sand a year from now will be just what it is today, a grain of sand. Inert, lifeless. But a grain of mustard seed planted begins to grow and develop. And pretty soon, there's 100 mustard seeds. Turn to Mark 4. I want to show you something else that's very interesting here. Mark, the 4th chapter and the 26th verse. Here's a wonderful lesson on seed sowing. That's what we're studying this morning. He that goeth forth and weepeth, doing what?
Bearing
precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. All right, Mark 4:26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep. Why would a man sleep after he sowed seed?
He can't make it grow.
He can't make it grow, and it's not going to sprout in a minute, is it? Along with care for our crops, we have to have trust in God. He said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. Well, a farmer knows how seed grows, doesn't he? No, he doesn't. The more a farmer knows about farming, the more he recognizes that he doesn't know how the seed grows. It's a miracle, isn't it? It's a miracle of God. But he knows this much about it. If he'll do his part, God does God's part. Doesn't he? And so he sows in faith. But he doesn't know how that seed grows. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. In future lessons, I want to study that 29th verse with you about when to put in the sickle. Oh, this is so important. And those of you who are acquainted with farming know that there's a time for harvest. If you try to put the sickle in too early, all you have is some green, unripe grain. That's not good. But if you wait too long, what have you got? Ah, you've lost a lot of it. You've lost a lot of it. When the fruit is ripe, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. We'll study that in future lessons. But now, notice this thought from this morning. As the sower goes forth and sows the seed, in tears, watering it with prayer, he still has to look where for the harvest. He has to look to God. He has to look to God. He sows the seed. He waters it with prayer. But he goes to sleep. There's a time to go to sleep. God doesn't intend that we shall be on duty 24 hours a day. We may carry souls on our hearts. But there are times that we have to say the word and then go on to something else and leave that with God. Then come back. Perhaps water it again. And so the blessed work goes on, day after day, hour after hour. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, in the parable of the sower, Jesus used this expression. Watch, listen. The sower sowed his seed. The only seed that you can sow effectively and effectually is the seed which is your own. The seed which is your own. You know what happens every season. Seed is put into the ground, it springs up and bears a harvest, and that in turn is used to plant other crops, successive generations of seed. The seed must be received into your heart and bear fruit in your life, and it is that which can be used to scatter in others' lives. Be sure that that which you give to others is something that in your own life you have proved is truth and that it works. For example, here's some soul struggling with some habit. It may be the tobacco habit, or the liquor habit, or the gossip habit, or the criticism habit, or the foolishness habit, or any other habit. And they're struggling. They wish they could get the victory. Do you have any seed to give them? Do you have some word of God which will help them in the struggle? Have you proved it? You may not have battled with the tobacco habit, but friend, every soul winner has battled with some habit in his life that God has given him a promise that has helped him to overcome on. Do you see what I mean? And so as you work with souls, remember, the sower sowed his seed. Share with others those promises, those commands, that instruction which has blessed your life. And as you do that, God will add his blessing and souls will be saved. Shall we pray? Precious Lord, seal to our hearts these wonderful words. And as we go forth, it may be with weeping, it may be in sorrow, it may be with tender pleading. Oh, Jesus, help us to scatter the seed. Help us to share with others the wonderful words of life which have blessed our souls. And we know that as the result, thou wilt give us an abundant harvest. We thank thee in Jesus' name. Amen.